Listen, friends, if it's all on you to make something of yourself or you're nobody, that is a crushing weight to bear in life.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad that you're joining us today. We're talking about the very important topic of identity. So, Pastor Philip, what do you got for us today about identity?
Well, the Apostle Paul is walking us through three identity formation strategies in our text. He's talking about one way we can build our lives is for the approval of others. We can look outside to others to validate ourselves and build an identity around that. So an approval-based identity. And then that's what we talked about last time. And he shows us that never works. And so now he's going to shift to an achievement-based identity. And he's going to show us why that doesn't work. And he's on our way to show us about an abiding identity in Christ. And we'll get to that next time. But today we're talking about this achievement-based identity where we go out and try to earn our sense of self, like by what we do and by who we are, by going out and performing and getting things done and achieving our sense of place in the world, or finding something in ourselves that we want to express in order to earn our sense of place in the world. And that achievement-based identity is really the strategy of much of the modern West that we live in to this day. Traditional cultures were much more of an approval-based identity formation. They would basically say, if you want to be a good person, fit into society, here's the expectations, family, culture, live into those expectations, we'll give you honor, and that's how you'll know who you are. And that's an approval-based identity. Here in the late modern West, we have much more of an achievement-based identity where we do the heavy lifting to form our identity and to push it out into the world and show ourselves that we're enough. And that achievement-based identity is a problem as well. And we're going to find out more about that today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we can examine the achievement-based identity. Now, this is part two of the sermon, The Basics of Identity. Our text today, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11.
And Paul says, your identity, your joyous life is found not in the approval of the Judaizers or anyone else. It is found in Christ alone. So that's the first identity formation strategy. Second one that Paul references here is achievement, an achievement-based identity where we are looking to self. Remember in verse 3, he said, for we're the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And then he continues, verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. That's pretty confident, isn't it? Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul says, look, these Judaizers think they have a leg up with their circumcision and their adherence to the Jewish law. They think God's impressed by this, and I can beat them at their own game. Look at my resume. Circumcised on the eighth day, according to the Mosaic law, of the people of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, through and through, I'm the real deal. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee, the most conservative, religious, and influential group within Israel. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Before Paul became a Christian, his name was Saul, and he hunted down Christians out of devotion and loyalty, obviously mistaken, but his commitment to what he thought God wanted. As to righteousness under the law, he says, blameless. Okay, Judaizers, not only did I meet all your expectations, I blew them out of the water. In my younger days, I knew who I wanted to be. I wanted to be the best of the best. I wanted to reach the top, and I made it. I not only did I blow away your expectations, I had my own expectations, and I knew who I wanted to be, and I worked hard, and I made it. See, this is a second identity formation strategy, which is a self-made identity, where we find our sense of self in succeeding on our own terms. A self-made identity, we find our sense of self in succeeding on our own terms. We say, forget the affirmation and the approval of other people. What you really counts is you gotta please yourself. You are what you make of yourself, and you can be whoever you wanna be. It's up to you. You heard stuff like this? All over the place, right? And again, there's a number of problems with this kind of self-made identity. I'll just give you four. Number one, it's an unending process. The search is never over. It's an unending process. The search is never over. No amount of success, friends, can ultimately secure your identity. Remember what Rockefeller said when they said, you're a millionaire. How many more millions do you need? And he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Remember Tom Brady? He said, they asked him, what's your favorite Super Bowl ring? He said, the next one. The next one. Success, friends, is a never-ending treadmill. Secondly, it's inflating. You build your identity around yourself, a self-made identity. It's an inflating thing. Success tends to go to your head. When your identity is of self-made success, you start to believe your own press clippings, don't you? And you look down on anyone else who isn't whatever you have. It's inflating, and it destroys you. Have you ever seen someone whose ego got so big they were top heavy? It's it all the time. Third, it's fragile. It's fragile. It's a fragile identity. There's always someone better. Unless you're number one, you'll never be enough. You're always chasing, never arriving. And if you do make it to number one, it won't last. There's always someone coming up behind you who will pass you up. Did you see the tweet that Elon Musk gave to Jeff Bezos just a couple weeks ago? Silver medal, baby. I beat you. Number four, it's crushing. It's crushing. The self-imposed pressure is severe. The self-imposed pressure is severe. Listen, friends, if it's all on you to make something of yourself or you're nobody, that is a crushing weight to bear in life. In the old movie, Chariots of Fire, 1981, there's a runner, his name is Harold Abrams. He's an Olympic-level sprinter at the top of his game, and he says in an interview, he says, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence. The movie ends with him in a drunken stupor. It is a crushing weight to bear all of your identity. That's why we're so chock full of anxiety and depression and even suicide. It is not C students who are jumping off the bridges. It's the A students who get their first bad grade. But there's another flavor of this achievement-based identity that Paul doesn't wrestle with in this passage, but it's widespread in our cultural moment, and I'd be remiss to skip over it, okay? This is a self-expressed identity. A self-expressed identity. We find our sense of self in being true to ourselves. You've heard this. This is everywhere. You do you. Follow your heart. Speak your truth. Be yourself. You hear this everywhere, don't you? And if all this was meant to say, was just be transparent, be open, be honest, be vulnerable, that would be one thing. But this is a full-blown identity formation strategy here in the late modern West. It's often offered to people as the only alternative to an affirmation-based identity. It goes something like this: you and you alone can discover who you really are. If you look deep down inside yourself, if you find, you will find in here somewhere a dream, a set of desires and feelings or intuitions in the world. You will discover yourself. And then what you do is you express that identity, you project it outward, you assert it regardless of what other people think. And the more unique and unconventional you are, the better. And while this way of thinking, this kind of identity formation, has been helpful in reducing psychological suppression, in raising the awareness of minority voices, in underscoring the value of personal authenticity, as a identity formation strategy, it utterly fails. As with the self-made identity, there are numerous problems with the self-expressed identity in this achievement model. I'll give you five, okay? Five. Number one, it's disintegrated because our desires are mutually exclusive. It's a disintegrated identity because our desires are mutually exclusive. Follow your heart, Philip. Okay. Which part? Which part? I genuinely want to be totally autonomously independent, free. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I want that. That's who I am. And I want loving commitment and stability in relationships with other people, which means I can't do whatever I want, whenever I want. I've got to learn to put other people's needs ahead of my own. Those are mutual, they're both in me, but they're mutually exclusive options. So follow your heart, be yourself. Which one? I can't do both. I can't be everything in me. You see this? There's no integrated option where I can follow everything in my heart because my heart is all over the place. I can't build an identity based off my heart's desires as if they were neatly ordered things. They're not. I'm a conflicted, disintegrated being. That's who I am. Secondly, it's unstable. You try to build an identity based off of what's deep inside of you, it will be unstable because we're ever-changing beings. We're ever-changing beings. I think it's fair to say that I have been, that Krista, my wife, has been married to three different men, and all of them are me. Seriously. Just think back in your life, 10 or 20 years. Aren't you so glad you're not that person anymore? You're a moving target. You're dynamic and changing. You're malleable, fluid on the inside. There's no firm foundation inside of us on which we can build a lasting, firm identity. It's just not there. Third, it leaves us insecure. It's an insecure identity because we need constant outside validation. It's an insecure identity because we need constant outside validation. The idea, friends, that we can express ourselves with enough weight to establish our identity without reference to anyone else is just naivete. It's naivete. We need outside validation. That's why when you post something on social media and it doesn't get enough likes or traction, you want to pull it back and pull it down. You think about deleting it, right? Some of you just do that. You wait 5 or 10 minutes, and if it doesn't go, you just pull it back. It's one thing to say, this is me, but then we need affirmation and validation of who we've chosen to express ourselves as. And maybe we're okay if some people reject the me we're expressing ourselves to be, as long as the chosen group that we identify with validates who we are. We may defy the culture of our upbringing, saying, I don't care what anybody thinks, this is me. But we know all along there will be thousands of people who affirm our choice. We're just changing cheerleaders, don't you see? We're still seeking validation on the outside. We're still chasing the affirmation of others. Fourth, it's a haunting identity. It's haunting because we're never fully ourselves. It's haunting because we're never fully ourselves. Because we're full of contradictions, we are never everything that is in us. We always leave something left back inside. Whatever we say we are, there's stuff left on the cutting room floor of our hearts. We filter, and we need the validation from the outside, and so then we're haunted. We're haunted because we can't quite shake the sense of self we're trying to keep out of sight. We can't shake it. It's the part of us we pretend we're not. It's the part of us we pretend isn't real. There's a great irony at the heart of humanity, and that is that to be fully known is our greatest longing and our highest fear. We're haunted by ourselves. Fifth, it's unsatisfying. It's an unsatisfying identity because we were made for so much more. We were made for so much more. The reality is, friends, we just don't carry enough weight to secure our own sense of identity. We can't call ourselves into being. We lack the gravity, the heaviness, the glory, the weight to confer a real, true identity for ourselves. And so we're always searching, always trying to be unique enough, special enough. But in the end, we can't get there.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are so glad that you're with us today. We're talking about achievement-based identity. And Pastor Philip, I'm just going to say it on behalf of our listeners out there that this is just a treadmill to nowhere. This achievement-based identity, it never quite satisfies, does it?
No. And really this, what Paul is giving us here in Philippians, it's an invitation to get off the treadmill.
Yeah.
It's this kind of identity formation strategy where I've got to go prove myself. I've got to go earn my keep. I've got to go be enough. I've got to find something beautiful enough, special enough, and express it in just the right way. And then it's got to be validated in all the right ways. So this weight that we bear to go and form our own identity and be ourselves, the weight of putting all of that on the shoulders of every single human being, it's crushing and it's absolutely wearying and it's endless. It's just a constant churning. And this is where Jesus comes along. And I think the words that he shares are so powerful when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me, for I am humble and meek of heart, and that you will have rest for your souls, right? This beautiful promise of resting, an identity that is not striving, that is not churning, that is not constantly running and seeking to have to prove itself over and over and over again for constant validation and demonstration of who I am, but a place to rest, to know that I'm loved and secure, that I'm satisfied in the presence of God, that I'm significant because I'm safe in the arms of Christ, like I'm a child of God. This kind of deep Christian identity is a restful place. It's not a place of striving. It's a place where we can be still and know that He is God, right? Because here's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus has done it all. It is finished. Jesus is the only one who has ever been able to fully earn his keep before God. He alone is sufficient and enough and has all the beauty and resources on the inside to be enough. Every last one of us is deficient. Jesus is enough. And so when you recognize in the gospel, what's happened is Jesus came and took our place. He died in our place and for our sake and offered his life on the cross, not just to pay for our sins, but to give us his own identity, his own righteousness, his own life, to cover us with who he is so that we are now hidden in Christ and our life is in him. That means our whole life and identity has fundamentally changed. And that means I don't have to strive for that. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to hustle for it. It is finished and it is done. And it's all because of Jesus. And that's an identity that can never be taken away.
Yeah, this is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. We're talking about achievement-based identity. Man, that we're on a collision course with the culture because everybody's self-esteem is so directly related to what they do. Mm. Who are you? Where do you work? What do you do? You're going to get that question oftentimes within two or three questions meeting somebody. How would then the believer balance? Certainly, we're not telling people not to be ambitious. Mm. We're certainly not telling them that they don't want to strive for excellence in whatever it is that they're doing. So how do we balance now this new identity, not to be achievement-based, but also that I want to achieve things in my life? How do we balance that?
Well, so that's the right question, right? Because obviously it would not be good if we just went passive and just limp and just didn't actually engage in the good work that we've been given. We want to be achievers and we want to be successful in what we do. But here's the difference. It's when you have an identity that's founded in Christ and a stable place from which to then go do your work, mm-hmm. you're not doing the work under the work. Because what happens is a lot of times we go do the work, but we're not just working to do work. We're working for significance and we're working for identity and we're working so we know who we are in the world and we're working for validation and we're working for all these things. In other words, there's a work under the work that makes work more than work. It makes work identity formation, right? And so I'm doing more than just a job. I'm actually trying to figure out who I am. And what happens is when Christ comes along and you know who you are in Christ, it allows you then to go back to your job and just do the work that is work and is good. But I don't have to do the work under the work because Christ did the deeper work in giving me an identity that is firm and solid and from which I can then just go and do my job for the glory of God without it trying to become this thing that validates and tells me who I am.
Yeah, because we're so much more than what our work.
That's right. Yes. And that could be true of family. You could be a parent and try to build your identity around being a parent. Now there's a work under the parenting, right? You could do that in your recreation. I'm really going to be good at this sport. But now you're trying to build an identity under the sport. But now if you know who you are in Christ, you can go into all these other spheres and just do those things to the glory of God without them. And you can even be good at them and receive validation from them, but it won't inflate you and it won't deflate you when you lose. It won't inflate you when you win in the same ways because you have a durable, steady, anchored sense of self that's grounded in Christ and that all the rest is just cherries on top.
Oh, be encouraged this hour, beloved. Whatever you do towards the glory of God. Amen. We all need encouragement as we ground our identity in Christ. To continue growing into the image of Christ, we must consistently turn to the truths of the gospel. Dr. Warren Wiersbe's book, Be Joyful, helps you cultivate the spiritual mind by focusing on your heavenly citizenship. This vision frees you from finding your worth in earthly things and grounds your identity in Christ alone. Now, this is the last week we're able to offer Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thank you for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media, and is sponsored by The Moody Church.